Greetings, fellow followers of Jesus, in this year of 2021. It is good to be with you in this virtual space again. Before we embark on this exploration of Epiphany, let us pray together. Messiah Jesus, you had compassion on the crowds, teaching them and feeding them. Please have compassion on us today. Teach us your truth. Feed us with the bread of life, that we might better understand your ways and grow into our identity as children of God. It is in your name, Lord Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Wednesday, January 6th, was Epiphany. And some epiphany it was, the celebration of the Magi from the East bringing gifts to the newborn king of the Jews obscures the ugly underbelly of the story. Roman Christianity of the 4th century gave us a December 25th date for Jesus' birth and a feast for the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh on January 6th. Roman Christianity of that same period also gifted us with the anti-Judaism that has been woven into the fabric of Western Christian religion and interpretation of the Hebrew Bible and Christian scriptures for centuries. Perhaps that powerful influence is why we celebrate the coming of the kings, rather than mourning the massacre of the infants of Bethlehem that swiftly followed. I checked the Revised Common Lectionary to see when churches would read the aftermath of Herod's anger that the Magi did not return to tell him where the child was. But the completion of Matthew 2 is not included in year A, B, or C. And it is not the stuff of Sunday school stories. So how would ordinary European or American Christians getting their Bible teaching at church come to know this tale of a leader inciting violence rather than ceding his power to another? Verse 16 summarizes the situation succinctly. When Herod knew the Magi had fooled him, he grew very angry. He sent soldiers to kill all the children in Bethlehem and in all the surrounding territory who were 2 years old and younger, according to the time that he had learned from the Magi. Why is the omission of this story from our Christian consciousness important? Why do we need to acknowledge and examine the anti-Judaism that formed Roman Christianity? Because what we don't know still influences us. Because the traditions and interpretations that are interwoven into our religion have deep roots that are antithetical to the message of Jesus the Messiah whom we serve. Because the anti-Judaism that emerged in early Christianity has flourished and mutated into the white supremacy nurtured by white American Christianity, growing unchecked to be displayed on Epiphany 2021. The events of January 6th were upsetting to many people for many different reasons. Concerns about American democracy, peaceful transfer of power, the fitness of elected officials and security of our government are important conversations, but would not have merited inclusion in an NCF sermon. The stark and outrageous contrast between police treatment of peaceful Black Lives Matter protesters and the police response to armed white insurrectionists, both previously on the state level and then again Wednesday on the national stage, certainly demands a reckoning. But it is the ideology of white Christian supremacy that inspired, fueled, legitimized, and welcomed the mob that must be addressed in American churches today. We dare not pretend that they are other than the white evangelical Christianity they claim, so as to absolve ourselves of any responsibility for the religion thriving in our soil. Can we talk about white supremacy without Christianity? Does such a thing even exist? Or is anti-Jewish European Christianity such the foundation for white supremacy that it does not draw breath without that Christianity? The metaphor of white supremacy as a parasite, unable to survive and thrive apart from the host of Christianity, is both helpful and deeply disturbing. Dr. Willie Jennings introduced this idea, and I recently learned of it from Pastor Daniel Hill's discussions and introduction to his book, White Lies. One aspect of this metaphor that is particularly important is how difficult parasites are to detect. And so I am cautioned that just as there are many anti-Judaism elements subtly woven into Christian interpretations of Scripture and Christian practices that are often invisible to Gentile Christians, white supremacy is also woven into the fabric of our Christianity in ways that white Christians often don't detect. Roman Christian devaluing of Jewish lives and property provided the basis for devaluing Black lives and property in the same religious system. Perhaps it is helpful to consider that European Christianity, the culture that was exported to the Americas, is not the only brand of Christianity. What might have been different if the Christianity that arrived on American shores was brought by Coptic Christians from Ethiopia? After the queen's treasurer encountered Philip on the desert road, invited him up into his chariot to explain the words of Isaiah, and then was baptized as a follower of Jesus, the Ethiopian eunuch brought that faith back to his home country. Was this honored official a convert to Judaism? Is that why he had traveled to the temple in Jerusalem to worship? What was that belief in the Jewish Messiah first called in Ethiopia, based on the Hebrew Bible, where Greek was not the language of the people, pre-New Testament writings, apart from the influence of the not yet blinded on the road to Damascus, Saul turned Paul? I realize as I ask these questions how very little I know of this Holy Spirit-ordained branch of Jesus followers and the theology that emerged in that culture and context. How might the story of American Christianity be different for indigenous peoples here, for indentured servants when Christian theology might not include a hierarchy of skin color to justify generational slavery? Or for me, if I had grown up in a culture influenced by that version of following Jesus. The ancient Christianity of Kerala in southern India, which by tradition is said to have been founded by the Apostle Thomas in 52 AD, certainly surprised Portuguese explorer Vasco da Gama when he sailed to Kerala to open up the first Europe-India sea route in 1498. That Christianity had flourished uninfluenced by Europeans until 1500, when Franciscan priests and chaplains arrived. I wonder how that theology evolved and how my understanding of Christianity might be different if I had lived in that culture pre-European arrival. My point is that the Christianity that we have been taught, the Greek, Roman, European, anti-Jewish Christianity that has provided the host to the parasite of white supremacy, is not the only way of understanding and following Jesus. And even when that Christianity was preached to people of other cultures who embraced Jesus and came to understand and know him through their experiences, different interpretations have arisen that give new insights into Jesus's life and teachings. There are other ways to follow Jesus that can help lead us out of this conundrum in which white American Christianity finds itself. There are assumptions and interpretations baked into our cultural American Christianity that are invisible to us. In our dismay of realizing the ways that our faith traditions and cultural institutions are shaped by this version of Christianity, we need not abandon our following of Jesus. Certainly not. Jesus is still, as Andre Crouch said, the answer. Jesus is Messiah, King of the Jews, worthy of worship, Savior of the world. And in order to better follow him, we must begin to tease out, recognize, and root out the ancient cultural influences and their modern manifestations that make white American Christianity the agent of white supremacy. I grew up in a pro-Jewish faith in Jesus. I was not raised in a Christian denomination or specific religious tradition. And though I lived in the American Northwest, where white supremacy built new strongholds, I was taught that all people were equally created in God's image. My family did not have slaveholder or Holocaust denier roots. But despite my desire to follow the Jewish Jesus of the Bible and my theoretical equal embrace of all peoples and cultures, I am often unaware of the ways that anti-Semitism and white supremacy have been built into the institutions and everyday practices of America and American Christianity. I am not immune. I have unwittingly and unwillingly hosted that which is abhorrent to me because I've been raised in and participate in this culture. That doesn't make me bad. And I am personally not particularly prone to so-called white guilt. But I do not want to be an ignorant participant in evil when I could be combating it through the power of the Spirit of Truth. Many of you listening are much farther along this road of rooting out anti-Semitism and white supremacy from your lives. You have read the books, done the work, marched the protests. In that regard, it is less like me preaching to the choir than like a child explaining a new insight to parents who wisely encourage discovery and dialogue. And so in order to determine where we go from here, I want to review that we are on the same page. I appreciate that one of today's readings from Genesis 1, the beginning of God creating the world, there is darkness and chaos. Again, at times the darkness and chaos seem to swirl around us and through us. But the wind, breath, Spirit of God swept over the waters. Change. God spoke light into being and observed its goodness. And then God imposed order, separating light from darkness, creating time, distinguishing day from night. The God of creation who breathes life into each human person, who speaks light into being and creates order out of chaos. This is the God in whom we live and move and have our being. God existed before European Christianity and is unbounded by our small understandings and regional prejudices. The God of truth desires that we seek truth and root out injustice, that we become like our Maker. We are reminded that Jesus was not a powerful white European married landowner, but an itinerant Jewish rabbi in Roman-occupied Palestine who threatened the established religious and political powers from his birth to his lawfully ordered execution. Anti-Judaism, anti-Semitism, white supremacy, and all forms of racism should be given no quarter among Jesus' followers. As European American Christianity has hosted the parasite of white supremacy, we engage in the difficult task of extracting our faith in Jesus from the religion that goes against his teachings. The Spirit is ours to inform us and lead us into truth. The Spirit of God that blew over the dark chaos of the waters, that separated day from night, dry land from seas, and breathed life into human beings created in God's image. The story of Paul's arrival in Ephesus and his initial interaction with the dozen believers there provides a fascinating metaphor for our faith journeys. What did those believers believe? John's baptism, repentance, turning from old ways, change of hearts and lives. This was enough to carry them. It was all they knew, but perhaps it is more than we sometimes grasp. That ability to repent and turn from a culture that does not honor God in its ideology or actions. Repentance prepares the way for the Lord. The preparation piece is important. Perhaps we need to allow more time for examining ourselves and our culture in order to let John's baptism do its work in us. The Ephesian believers, like us, didn't know what they didn't know. They were living out the extent of the truth that they had been given, being faithful to that belief that set them apart from their culture as they chose new practices of life. Perhaps the experience of the Ephesians provides a template for each of our journeys and of communities of faith, that we can be true to what we believe and know, but also be open to new revelations of Jesus and of the Spirit. There is always more to learn, new growth and insights that we did not have before. Maybe our epiphany in 2021 is realizing more ways in which our cultural Christianity has hosted anti-Semitism and white supremacy. Like the Magi, we too need to take a different road after our encounter with and worship of the King of the Jews. What will guide us on this portion of our journey? Together we will discern the leading of the Holy Spirit into all truth to set us and all people free. And so we pray, come, Lord Jesus, in our hearts, our minds, our church, our worship, our city, our country, and our world. Amen.